do, we do appreciate your prayers for our upcoming camp. And it's amazing, even this morning, you know, we've got a situation where we've got a lot of people who want to, like, families who want to send their kids, a lot of kids who want to come, but they need money. And that's always the challenge. And so we believe God to help get kids to camp. It's exciting. If you haven't gotten us your registrations or for your kids or you know someone, it's not too late. We have 2 weeks left, so you really want to apply the pressure. No greater place to be than at Camp Gilead, July 27th through August 2nd, I believe it. I'm going to be there. And we have a good week planned, a lot of good stuff. So many of you know that we went a couple of weeks, this would be news to some of you, and we built the rock climbing wall. Some of you have seen pictures of that. When we got it up, it was quite intimidating to me. I called Bobby right away, the rock climber, and I said, listen, I said, I don't know, this thing is high. He said, no, don't worry, at the gym it's 14 feet. So, okay, we're good to go then. We're just going to have to get extra thick mattresses for the kids to fall on. So it's pretty impressive. But Raymond's here in town. Our little lumber yard where I have frequented and become friends, acquaintance type friends with everyone there. And they treat us very well for our needs. But anyways, I talked to the owner, Ray Jr., and he said, yeah, he said, whatever you need at cost. He said, our cost is what we'll give it to you for. So a tremendous savings. What a tremendous blessing. Them to do that. But anyways, it's still going to cost us about $1,500 bucks. And this past, my days are kind of blurred, but I think Friday, I was talking to a pastor friend, and he was asking me a couple of questions. And one of them was, you know, what do you need, Bob? Well, we can use $1,500 to pay for the rock climbing wall. And he said the check is in the mail. Come on. Is that cool?
God is good.
God is good. And so we rejoice with that. And I can't wait to try the rock climbing wall. I can't wait to see some of them. I can't wait to see John King try to cry. So that's going on. And your kids, you want to come to camp, get your guy. Where's Skye? Is Skye here? Where is she? Got to get Skye's registration in. And our kids have a great time. And it's just a... If you've been to camp, you know that it is fun, but it's a lot more than fun. God does some spectacular things. Okay. This morning, I want to look at a very well-known phrase. Look at a couple things from the word on this phrase. It's a phrase that you see every time you look at a dollar bill. Let's see, I have one. Sandra's pretty tight with money, and I get. Well, Mike, you feel my pain? I have $2.
Yeah.
I have $2. And it says, let's see, where does it say that? Oh, yeah. You know that, right? The phrase, well, in God we trust. What's it say?
In
God we trust. So you take this guy, he was hiking, we'll call him Bobby. He's hiking and got a little bit too close to the cliff, and he falls over the cliff. Lo and behold, on his way down, he's hollering for help. Now, if everything doesn't jive in this story, that's how some stories are, but it's my story. And as he's hollering for help, a As he's hollering for help on his way down, he notices a rope dangling over the edge of the cliff, and he grabs it, hangs on to the edge of the, you know, to the rope, and he slithers all the way down. There's a knot tied in the end of the rope, and he cinches fast to that knot, and his knuckles turn white, and, you know, looking down, he's still several hundred feet to the bottom. And so, in that kind of predicament, what do? Well, you pray. God, help me. That's a good prayer. God, help me. You ever been there where all there is to pray is, God, help me? I think that's a wonderful prayer. Help, God. Help. It indicates a lot of things, and that's not where I want to go this morning, but help, God. And so this guy, he's there, he's dangling, he's white-knuckled, he's scared half to death, and he's saying, help God. And so about the third time that he's saying, help God, he hears the voice of God. And the voice of God says to him, do you trust me? And the man says, yes, God, I trust you, I will trust you. Next voice he hears, God again saying to him, well, then let go of the rope. Well, God, I don't trust you that much. You know? And so we have to ask ourselves, you know, the question. When we're in that kind of predicament and the word comes to us, let go. And I think you understand what I mean in the context of trust, let go. And it's like, how do you know? You know, I ask myself the question, is how do I know? How do I know when I can trust God? How do I know that I trust Him? How do I know when I can? You know, how do I know it? You know, okay, this indicates that I trust Him. Well, I would put the answer like this from our little story. When you're at the end of your rope and you let God, that's how you know you trust. You ever been there before? At the end of your rope? And more than letting go, you what? Let God. And I hate most cliches, but I think there's something in there, let go and let God. This morning, in the context of what's the title of my message?
In God we trust.
In God we trust. And the idea here that we have to see is this is what letting go means. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and 27, Deuteronomy 33:27 says, Moses speaking to the people. And virtually saying to them, listen, when you let go, God will be there. And he says, the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. I'll read it again. The eternal God is your refuge. And underneath, when you let go. See, he wasn't saying to this man in our little story, well, let go. In a few hundred feet, you're going to be splattered over the rocks in a million zillion different pieces. No, when you let go, underneath are the everlasting arms. And it's a tremendous picture of God, the everlasting arms of God, the strength in that, the picture of that. And as much as an eagle, a mother eagle, pushes her chicks out of the nest to teach them to fly, and ere they crash on the bottom before they learn to fly, she swoops down and catches them in her everlasting arms, and they don't fall to the ground dead. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And I like this part especially where he says, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before you, and you shall destroy them. So that, you know, the bottom that seems like is going to come also quickly and be a formidable enemy to destroy you. No, 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 no. Long before you hit bottom, he's going to swoop down and rescue you. And that enemy will be destroyed. In God we trust. Do I trust that? I've often been and am now in a quandary of trust, trusting God. So this message is not for you this morning. This message is for me. You get to hear it. You get to hear me preaching to myself. If you get anything out of it, God bless you. But I sure hope I do because I need it. I'd like to read a couple of scripture verses, and I'd like to turn to the Psalms, the book of Psalms, and start with Psalm 1, where the psalmist said, Psalm 1 says, O Lord my God, I take refuge in you. And the idea of trust that we'll get to in a moment, you can almost say, O Lord my God, I trust. I take trust in you. This whole idea of refuge is important. I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. O Lord my God, I take refuge in you. And then Psalm 16, just a few page or so over, Psalm 16, once again he says, the psalmist says, keep me safe, O Lord, for in you I take refuge, or for in you do I trust. I think, in fact, the King James Version, if I'm not mistaken, says that. Yeah. He says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 16:1. And then some of you know, and we'll look here just for a moment, the very famous scripture verse in Proverbs chapter 3, a couple of verses there. And if you haven't memorized this passage, you should. I think I did when I was first cutting my spiritual teeth way back in the 70s. Memorized this passage of scripture. But Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 5, where he says, I'm a little dyslexic here, I'm in 3:5, there we go. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He says, don't lean on your own understanding. You're not going to figure this thing out. It calls for trust. He says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. When you're going so crooked you get dizzy, that's not fun because nausea comes and you puke. He says, I'll straighten that out. He says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Wow. Here's the Bible concluding, as they have done time and again in modern medicine, the connection between spiritual health and physical health. Proven fact, medically. There are people, there are specialists, there are doctors who even focus on this. Some psychiatrists and whatever, but anyways, nonetheless, verse 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I think it's interesting, Mike's little vignette, his little his couple of illustrations, I think goes so apropos to the message this morning, and in regards to trust. Because when you trust God, you know, like letting go of the rope, you are then out of control. You know, you're hanging onto the rope for dear life. Well, at least you have some semblance, at least in your own mind, I got this. know, I got this. I got it. And to let go means, you know, in the same way, hey, just put your hands in. We got you. We got the chair. You're strapped in. It's going to be okay. Just trust in His control in this. And we even see this in some of the other Psalms as we read them about this whole idea of trusting, being still in trusting. Oftentimes we betray the trust that we say we have in God by the way in which we try to hang on and keep things under control. Huh? Just doesn't seem right. I should be doing something. And it is doing something when we really get hold of this thing of trusting God. In God, we trust. So the Psalms, as we look at them, and there are so many scriptures to read, and I'll look at them on trust in just a moment, but just to say that this is the Christian church's and the Jewish people's worship book. This is our hymnal, the Book of Psalms. If we tried to count the songs and the worship and so on that has been taken out of the Psalms, forget it. It'd be more than the stars in the sky, innumerable. And that's how God designed it, that we should use this book, that we should draw from it, that it should become a part of our worship and praise repertoire, if you will. And it is that. It's also our prayer book. When we're in situations and from you know the good, bad, and ugly of life, and we all know that life is filled with the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? I wish it was just, you know, the good, the better, and the best. I wish it were. Oh, how I wish it were. But that's what heaven's for. We can only hope. But now there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we see that in the Psalms, but in the good, the bad, and the ugly, there's these everlasting arms. There's this trust and the strength that's derived from it that we find here in the Psalms. And we turn our attention often to the Psalms, or at least we should, in the good, bad, and the ugly, to find how it is that, man, during this time, during this situation, I can make those words, I can make that situation my situation, and come out on the end of trust as the psalmist did. We get an inside look here in the Book of Psalms at life and how life meets faith, how faith meets life head on, and how both meet God head on. And in the Book of Psalms, there are some 50 verses that speak directly about trust. Some 50. It says in Psalm 25:2, "Oh my God, I trust in thee." He says, "Don't let me be ashamed. Don't let my enemies triumph over me. I trust you to deal with my enemies. Keep me from being ashamed by being put to shame by them. I trust in you, God." Psalm 25, verse 20, he says, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Don't let me be ashamed because I trust in you. The Lord redeems the souls of his servant. And none of them that put their trust in him shall be desolate." You're not going to come up empty when it's in God that we really do, that you really do trust in. You're not coming up on the short end of the stick. When you let go and let God, he's got you. "Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Your trust inspires trust in other people. Talking to my cousin on the phone, Charlie. Called him up. He was texting me doesn't know our situation. Lord, woke him up. You're on my mind, Bobby. Charlie, Bobby, that's how we grew up. Well, you know my son, Bobby, right? He will forever be, he's going to be 70 years old and still Bob. And called him, and 6 weeks ago, he's telling me that, he says, my youngest son, his wife 6 weeks ago walked down on him. Shock. Walked up and walked out on. So we've been rocking and reeling, he says, but there was a strength in my cousin. He's prophesying to me and sending me these words, and it's like, I don't know, Charlie, but you need to come and lay hands on me immediately. He's trusting. I like this one. He says, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Now, you know, it's like, that was for the psalmist, you know, that's how he won the battle, so he thought, you know, or you could think. And whatever it is that you think you have in hand that gets you through, don't trust in that. That's what the psalmist is saying. Those are weak things to trust in. Trust in the Lord. In God we, yes. The psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And notice he says, what time I am afraid, he says, I will trust and not be afraid. Trust. It says, in God will I, he said, will I praise his word. In God I have put my trust. There's this whole thing, you see, we're going to talk about this in a moment, about putting our trust. The action of faith, of putting our trust in God. I will put my trust in thee. I will not fear what flesh. I will not fear what people can do to me. Wow. That's quite a trust. It says, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. Good stuff. And so we see it throughout the Psalms, this whole idea of trust. And trust, I didn't do a lot of research on this, but the Hebrew word for trust conveys this idea of refuge. And this is the imagery, perhaps, that I can paint for you. It's like, have you ever been caught in a storm? Not in your vehicle, but you know, maybe you're walking, you know, you're hiking, you're taking a walk around town, someplace, and man, oh, it's threatening, and boom, you know, a clasp of thunder, a downpour, and I think we all have, and you run for cover, as we say, right? You run for cover. Whether you're close to home or your vehicle, and or someplace, and you know you hide out and you run for safety, as it were. And that place that you've gotten to is your place of refuge from the storm. That's the whole idea behind trust. That's the picture. When you say I trust in God, it is running for cover. It's finding in him an adequate place of safety from the storm. I trust in him. In God we trust. So it's trusting in him to cover you. To cover you. To provide for you, to provide for me that place of safety, that place of protection. And therefore, it's called a refuge. And we look at God, the person, God, and the one that I trust in is my place of refuge. Now, let's just try to fiddle with this just a little bit. See if I can help myself here this morning. By saying that trust in letting go is not passivity. You know, it's not the idea behind Sarah, right? Come on, some of you know, you've probably even heard Doris Day sing it, right? Okay, Sarah, right? Whatever. It's not that. You know, it isn't that kind of passive, you know, kind of dumbfounded, listless resignation of, oh, well, you know, I guess I'm on the banister of life sliding down and all the splinters happen to be going the wrong way, but oh, well. But anyways, and it's not that, you know, I trust in God. So it's like this kind of just, you know, okay, you know, no, nothing I can do about it. You know, it's just, and I hate this, and I want to remove it from my vocabulary and everybody else's. Well, it is what it is. It is what it is. And I get that. But it's not that. Trust is not that. Well, I trust God. You know, yeah, it is what it is. This kind of passive, you know, acceptance, so to speak, of, well, that's the inevitable, and so I'm trusting God type of letting go. No. So that's the first thing. It's definitely not that. And we see that even in the terminology that's used, even the terminology that's used by the psalmist when he says, I will put my trust in the Lord. And when you read all these scriptures about trust, you see that there's an active engagement, if you will, in the process of what it means in relating to God by trusting Him. That doesn't call for us to kind of switch everything off and just, you know, I'm just going with the flow, just kind of, you know, letting the current. No! Faith and believing is action. But it's how we take that action. So that's the first thing. It's not passivity. It's not being passive about life and about circumstances. And it's not about just being, you know, blindly accepting things for the way that they are, the way that they have to be. It's not. And secondly, it's not presumption. It doesn't mean by letting go that we can, or by trusting God, I'll put it this way, not using letting go, but by trusting and say, I trust God, that we can presume upon God to make it fit how we want it to work out. Oh, boy. So that I trust Him, and behind that I trust Him, there is this kind of presumptive strength that we're able to say it because in our minds, we have, and we even pray along that how we're imagining that we want it to work out. And holding God fast to, well, this is how I see it can work, God. And if it, you know, God, if this happens and then that happens, and if this comes around like this and that happens like this, wow! Man, that is going to be nothing short of a miracle. After all, God, nothing's impossible with you. One problem. That's not trust in God. That's trust in how you want it to work out, how I want it to work out. So when I pray, when I say I trust God, I have to check at the door, as it were. Motivations behind my trusting, the presumptions perhaps behind my trusting, and say, you know, am I really falling in line here with trusting God, or is this trust in Bob? Is this trust in, you know, and it's like, by the way, God, Bob here, and you know, there are five or six things that I'd like you to take a look at. And, you know, try to slip these in. What you got? You know, what do you think? You know, just your little helper, God. Just a little helper here. You know? And when we do that, it's presumption, and we are setting ourselves up for more disappointment. For more disappointment. Because it's putting our trust not in how we think it ought to work out, not how we want it to work out, but how God has planned for it. How God has purposed for it. And this is my last point. The trust, you have to be careful with trust. Doesn't mean that we become passive. We got something to participate in the whole process of trusting. Have to be careful how we presume upon God to work things out. And this whole thing of, well, look what God did for them. He'll do the same for me. Maybe not. You say, well, why not? Well, that was them in their situation and circumstances, and this is me in mine. Don't you just hate that? Especially if you saw God do something big in somebody else's life. So that when I trust, this is where I have to get to. I have to get to trusting that there is a higher purpose. Now, by that, I don't just mean the mechanics, but I mean a person. That he has, that God's got trust. Trusting that, you know, God's got this. He's got it. And that Isaiah, what is it, 55, he says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are both of those, my thoughts and my ways, higher than yours. He's got a higher purpose. And so when I trust, when I say in God I trust, what I'm saying is that I'm fighting through to trust that higher purpose in God, in all of this, in all of these things. Fighting through to that. That's far from being passive, isn't it? And I don't know. I can't find the words because I don't have them to say it any better than that, but that there's a higher purpose in it. In what we have to trust him for, what we have to trust him with. And you know, like all of these things, you know, all of these things. You know, they work in our lives. This is how I can say it, you know. It's like you can, you know, take a person who goes to school, you know, and you go, I don't know how to say this. But it's like all of these things, you know, in trusting God, again, you know, how much do you trust him? How much do I trust him? Well, you don't know until you're put in the situation where you really got to trust God. Right? I mean, that's it. And, boy, that's a battle sometimes. It really is a battle. So God help us in the battle, you know? God help us. Let's pray. Would you stand with me?